Hey, good evening, Cuse Nation, and welcome to the Upstate Orange Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv and YouTube. We're coming at you live from inside the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. It's Sunday, November 30th, 2014, and tonight we'll be talking about two Syracuse wins against Loyola and Holy Cross, and we'll take a look ahead to Tuesday night's game against Michigan in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I'm Jim Sinacropi, and my co-hosts Matt Verke and Brad Conner are standing by to talk all about it. The Upstate Orange Podcast is brought to you by Generations Bank, with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Be sure to check out their mobile banking app or visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by Madej, Miris, and Ricky, your hometown personal injury attorneys. If you've been injured and deserve compensation, call the Finger Lakes Personal Injury Hotline at 315-568-0911 or visit their website at madejmirisricky.com. Well, we've got the professor holding online from Cincinnati. He drove through the Cuse today from Cooperstown on his way back to Cincinnati. How you doing tonight, Brad?
All right, gentlemen. How are we doing tonight?
And we also have Matt Verke, former William & Mary standout, and he's also played in Section 5 high school basketball the same time as John Wallace. And Wallace never scored, Verke, as many points in a sectional game as you did.
He did not.
He had a night of 57 back in 1992.
He probably didn't shoot as much as I did either, though. So,
well, yeah, you might have a point there. Well, guys, two down this week. Holy Cross, not a bad team. You know, they beat Harvard, and I thought they played us pretty good. I think that was maybe one of our best games this year that we played as a team. So let's talk all about it with our big five questions. Question number one, do we belong in the top 25? We're not in there right now. It's different. We've been in there for five straight years, and there are nowhere to be found. We're receiving votes. You know, Verke, what do you think?
I don't think so right now. Just based on, you know, obviously they've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. They lost to Cal, who's picked, you know, seventh in the Pac-10. I think Cal's going to be better than that. But I'm going to say no. If we, you know, we'll see how these – obviously we got some big matchups coming up with Michigan and St. John's next week. But right now, you know, until they make a three-pointer in a game, I don't have them in the top 25.
And, Brad, do you think that we're a top 25 team? I mean, I guess there's two questions. Do we belong in the top 25 based on our start to the year, and are we a top 25 team? So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think those are two very different questions. I think, is this a top 25 team right now on the basis of their first six games? No, not at all. They had two tests against teams that weren't ranked, either of them, and they lost to one of them. They beat Iowa, but, I mean, you don't get many points for beating Holy Cross and Loyola and Kennesaw and those guys. So, as of right now, no, I think they're 25 more worthy teams just based on what they've done so far in the first 3 weeks of the season. Can they be? Absolutely they can. They've got a lot of opportunities to prove to the country what they can do. They're young. They're younger than most teams because they lost a lot to the draft and to the NBA, and so I think there's a lot of learning and a lot of opportunity to grow.
Yeah, I mean, it upsets me a little bit because this type of thing is voted upon, and I think that we are a top 25 team. Just looking at our talent, even though we are struggling with shooting the ball, you know, I think you rank the top 25 teams based on, you know, the overall talent and the system and the coach, and we're there. But, you know, we did lose that game to Cal. It won't take long, though, for us to get back in. If we can win on the road at Michigan on Tuesday, there's no doubt we're jumping back into the top 25. So I guess the question's moot. They're going to have to prove it on the court, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, question number two. Article surfaced this week in the Post-Standard saying that Chris Ford said that Chris McCullough is a lottery pick on every NBA scout. They got him in the lottery. And then if you had a chance to watch Boeheim's press conference against Holy Cross, he went crazy. He said he talked to 10 NBA scouts, and none of them had McCullough as a lottery pick. What do you guys think? Who's telling the truth here? Is who's talking to the right scouts? Verk?
First of all,
Brad?
Why during the course of the season, six games into a season, is Jim Bantz talking to 10 different pro scouts? What reason would he have to do that at this point in the season? So I'm going to call BS on that one, I think. Chad Ford, his job is to talk to NBA scouts. I think I believe him more than I believe Boeheim. Obviously, Boeheim has some motivations there. Chad Ford could care less. He's not motivated by anything. He's just trying to tell the way he hears it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Verk, what do you think? Is he a lottery pick?
I don't think so, just based on the fact that I think this draft is going to be pretty historic. And if you look at the talent around the country right now, you know, look at Duke and Kentucky. They probably got 8 lottery picks between the two of them, you know, if all those guys end up going pro and stuff. I think McCullough could be. You know, he could end up being. He's had a real nice start to season. I think we've all been pleasantly surprised. Maybe not surprised, but he's living up to expectations. You know, he's playing really well, rebounding the ball, scoring. You know, I don't think he's Jahlil Okafor from Duke, or, you know, I don't think he's in that, you know, a sure lottery pick at this point. But he's had a nice start to the season, and, you know, I think Boeheim's a little irked by some of the stuff that came out. You know, Chad Ford had Ennis in the lottery, and he didn't get picked in the lottery. He had Jeremy Grant in the first round. Jeremy fell in the second round. So I think he's not real happy with some of the, you know, and like you said, parents listen to that and players listen to it. And, you know, he lost a couple players who, you know, I don't think Ennis made a bad decision by coming out last year. Grant, you know, who knows? But it, you know, I think Boeheim gets a little irked by some of these so-called experts putting stuff out there.
Yeah, I got to tell you, because that's, like you said, you know, they print it and these guys start thinking it. And in Ennis's and Grant's case, they didn't go as high as they had hoped. And, you know, maybe that did sway him. You know, a guy like Jeremy Grant who might have been on the bubble, you know, if there's people out there telling him that he's going to be a top 15 pick and he ends up, you know, falling out of the first round. But yeah, I guess that's why you really never know until the draft comes around. And if you do compare some of these predictions with the actual results from the draft, not only in the NBA but in the NFL as well, I just think that they don't match up exactly as the pundits would make you sound when they're giving their predictions pre-draft. So, on to question number 3. Should we see more Chinoso Aboko? I mean, Coleman, he's getting better. He's going to play. The limited minutes Aboko's been out there, he's been okay. He actually shows a little offensive ability. He scored on a nice play, catch and turn and layup against Holy Cross. And I think, you know, I'd like to see a little more Aboko, Verk. What do you think?
No. I guess basically we're seeing him because Christmas is in foul trouble. Usually that's what that means. You know, they've slid McCullough over there. I think he does need to play just to spell Christmas a little bit. And we can't always just slide McCullough into the center. But he hasn't shown me all that much this year, personally. You know, I think he's still a project. And I think he can help in the future. I just don't think he's ready right now.
Come on, Brad. What do you think about Aboko?
Yeah, I'd like to see more of him. I mean, in these games especially, I mean, you know, they're winning by 30, 40 points. They should be giving him 10 to 12 minutes to be able to prove himself, or at least, you know, give him some experience when they do need him in a tight game and there's foul trouble. I mean, hell, we've played 6 games so far. Christmas has had 4 or 5 fouls in all but one of those games. I mean, these are games against teams that don't have a strong interior post presence. You know, how's it going to be when Christmas is playing against teams that do have somebody that he really has to spend time defending inside? I mean, that's the biggest fear to me is they get into tough games, and you need Aboko, you need depth to be able to survive that. I don't want McCullough sliding to the 5 every game.
Yeah, I guess that's my point with Aboko is and what I've seen, he hasn't shown that he can't be out there for 8 to 10 minutes with, you know, and really hurt the team. And I think the more that type of time he's going to get, the better he's going to be. He's a good rebounder, good shot blocker, and he's shown a little more offensively than I had expected to maybe ever see from him. So, you know, I'm all for seeing more Chino. We'll see if hopefully he gets a few more minutes going forward. Question 4. Michael Benajay. I'm so excited this year for Benajay, and he's been showed some good stuff. But this games this week, he looked like, you know, uninterested. Even at the end of the game against Holy Cross, he was in there with Christian White, and White, you know, and Benajay was the one jacking up shots as if he was just trying to score enough points to protect his average because he wasn't having a very good game. And, you know, stuff like that and you know, some easy shots that you expect a guy, a former McDonald's All-American, to make. He's not doing, Burke.
No, you know, you touched on it. He's been a disappointment. You kind of expected him to be that all-everything guy, to come in and play the 1-2-3, maybe in the fourth spot, and be a leader. And he's looked out of sync, just doesn't look real confident at this point. And, you know, this is his third year in the program, so I guess you expect a little bit more from him. But, yeah, I would say he's been a huge disappointment so far.
Bray, you agree that he's been disappointing?
Yeah, no question. I mean, you referenced that last minute or 2 minutes of that game, and, I mean, that was just embarrassing on his part. You know, the crowd wants Christian White to get the ball, and you got Benajay just jacking stuff up with a smile on his face. I mean, if he's a supposed starter, he doesn't even belong in the game in there, for one. And number two, he shouldn't be the guy trying to pad his stats at that point. I mean, I think he's trying too hard. I think he thinks he needs to kind of be that guy, and he's not letting the game come to him. I think he's forcing too much, and I don't know. Maybe it's in his head. Hopefully he can snap out of it.
Well, we need him. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I guess that's one of the reasons why it's so disappointing, is because we need him to be that top-caliber player, especially that sixth man coming off the bench. And, you know, you got to wonder, too, when Tyler Roberson sits out with an injury and, you know, he starts B.J. Johnson instead of Benajay, how that might affect Benajay a little bit. Because between those two, I would expect Benajay to start. But perhaps Boeheim's thinking, you know, this is his role. I want him to, you know, be used to be coming in off the bench the way that Deion Waiters and the other recent six men of note have done for us. So, you know, we need Benajay to improve if this team's going to make any kind of noise in the ACC this year. So, question number five: will Syracuse beat Michigan on Tuesday night? If not, it's our second loss before December. You know what? Third. It's been a while since we've lost. Two and before January 1st, let alone December 3rd. So, you know, Michigan has been solid. They got a good win against Oregon, and they're almost kind of like us. They took care of Bucknell. They took care of Detroit, both home games. Then they moved on to in the tournament they played in to play Oregon, where they beat them by 7, 70-63. Then they lose to Villanova in the finals of that tournament in Brooklyn, 60-55, so just a 5-point loss to Villanova. And their next game was Saturday night against Nicholls State. I actually don't got the result here, but I imagine they won that game.
They won by 91-62.
Yeah, so they got the offense going in that one. Zach Irvin averages 18.4 points a game, 15-34 from three. Caris LeVert is another guy averaging about 16 a game, and Derek Walton Jr., 13 points, 6 rebounds, also can step out and hit the three. And, Brad, what do you think? Are we going to win this game?
I don't really I don't feel too optimistic about it, and the biggest reason is we know historically this team struggles against teams that shoot it well from the outside, and I think especially this year what we're seeing is team that's still learning on defense and not getting out on the shooters quite as well early. You know, they have to get the rotations down. The guys are still trying to get settled into their spots. Team that shoots threes well as Michigan, that poses a real problem. And the fact that it's at Michigan, I think that's doesn't look good, I don't think. I'd be surprised if Syracuse won this game.
What do you think, Virk?
I agree with Brad. I think it's you know, early on, Syracuse isn't playing real well. Unless they come out and just find their offensive rhythm and some continuity, and they knock down some shots, I think, you know, Syracuse could be in for a tough night.
Well, you know, I don't see Boeheim losing to Beeline again back to back. It's a matchup he's traditionally dominated. Last loss was obviously in the Final Four a couple of years ago, and I just don't see Boeheim losing this game. But I think that if I think you're going to see Boeheim be very upset on the sidelines with some players if things aren't going that way. I really think Boeheim kind of wants this win. And I think he realizes how important it is to this team to get them kind of off the real early NCAA bubble and back into, you know, the rankings and into a good position before they hit, you know, the another tough game against Villanova. They got St. John's, which will be a difficult game. And that doesn't even account, you know, the ACC schedule, which is going to be brutal for the Orange this year. So, you know, based on that alone and the fact that there was so much good during the Holy Cross game, and, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, we got to hit some threes. Maybe getting out of the dome into another arena will help help our shooters.
You know, yeah, I think it's a game where you're going to have to hit, you know, Cooney's going to have to hit four or five threes. You know, they're going to have to score the ball. Michigan's going to score some points. And, you know, we're just not going to be able to dump it into Rakeem Christmas and let him go one-on-one against Michigan all game long. You know, Christmas is off to a great start, but, you know, he's a career 6-7 points a game guy. Get a lot more touches this year, obviously, but Michigan's going to have some big guys inside as well. So I think things inside are going to be a little tougher for him. And, you know, if we're going to have a chance, I think we need to make 10 three-pointers probably, which I just don't see happening.
What do you think we need to do to beat him, Brad? What has to go our way to win that game?
I think they need to win the battle inside. They need to get as much as they can from the big guys because I think Michigan's got the advantage outside. I think if they can really have a good performance from Christmas and McCullough, I think that can overcome what Michigan will probably do behind the arc. You know, Caleb Joseph has got to keep control of the ball. We got to cut down the turnovers. You know, if they're throwing the ball away, I don't see them. You know, Syracuse is going to need a lot of possessions because Michigan's going to make the threes, and they've got to protect the basketball.
Well, let's see. Hope they can do all those things. Got some news for you here, Virk. Did you know last week when you took Christian White in that draft that he wasn't even an eligible player?
I didn't.
But the NCAA granted a waiver to the junior guard who transferred from Monmouth last summer, Christian White, 5'10 guard, native of Rochester, played at Aquinas. He transferred last year, so usually I have to sit out, but he got a waiver. And he played, the other night. He played pretty well in garbage time. He didn't score, but, boy, he saved one. He had a couple nice plays on defense and almost looks obviously undersized and not as athletic as our average Syracuse guards at the top of the zone. But in a pinch, kind of the way Justin Thomas stepped in the 6 overtime game, I feel okay with old Christian White out there, so glad he got the waiver.
Yeah, he was on full scholarship at Monmouth. You know, he was a pretty decently, you know, a lot of mid-majors looked at him at Aquinas. I believe they won the state championship. They had the Valente kid who went to Canisius, and he was a pretty highly recruited kid. I mean, Christian White, he's a Division I basketball player. He's a walk-on at Syracuse, but, you know, he's a scholarship-type player. You know, he's probably in a little bit over his head in the ACC, but, you know, in a pinch, no doubt about it, he can come in and play, no, hands down.
Helps him out in practice, too, so good for Christian White. Upcoming schedule for the Orange, as I mentioned, we have Tuesday night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge against Michigan at the Chrysler Center, 7:30 on ESPN. Saturday the 6th, they got St. John's. That's a 5:15 start on ESPN2 in the Dome. And then next Sunday night, we're back on the Upstate Orange podcast at 10 p.m. to talk all about those two games. After that, they're facing Louisiana Tech after a week off on Sunday at 4 o'clock on ESPNU. And then the following Saturday at Villanova, 1 o'clock on Fox. The 22nd, they got Colgate. The 28th, they got Long Beach State. And then Cornell on New Year's Eve. We're going to step aside for 60 seconds and hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, Brad will challenge us with some great Orange trivia on another edition of Connor's Corner.
Guidance and partnership through every step of the journey. Welcome to Generations Bank.
The Newark Pilots. See tomorrow's Major League stars today. For more information, go to newarkpilots.com.
Call the Finger Lakes Personal Injury Hotline at 315-568-0911. That's 315-568-0911. Made, Maris, and Ricky, your hometown personal injury attorneys.
And welcome back to the Upstate Orange Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv and YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube by clicking the red button below, right there. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher.com. And we're live every Sunday night at 10 o'clock throughout the season, hopefully into early April this year. Well, Brad, I know you are probably a little groggy, although you sound like you're at the top of your game, even though you drove 11 hours earlier today from Cooperstown, New York to Cincinnati, but it probably did give you plenty of time to contemplate the ultimate Orange trivia question.
Yeah, it gave me a lot of time to contemplate it, but not a lot of time to research it, so it's not well-researched, but it's going to be a tough one for you. I know it was a tough one for me when I was trying to go through it in my head. So we'll see how well you guys recall your ACC season from last year. So this is less Syracuse and more ACC and Syracuse opponents. But can you tell me who the leading returning scorers are for each of the ACC teams this season?
Jeez. I'm sure we can do some of them, obviously. I'll say Syracuse, we could start with that one. Jerry McNamara or Trevor Cooney. I wish it was Jerry McNamara.
I like Jerry McNamara better, but yeah, Cooney.
Let's see. Duke's leading returning scorer. Quinn Cook?
Quinn Cook is correct. Okay. Two for two,
Verk. Good job, Verk.
How's it going?
North Carolina is...
So wait, I had to step aside to deal with a small technical issue. The question is...
The leading returning scorer from each team in the ACC.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Burke just got the two ones that you probably would have gotten.
Well, I can get North Carolina's, too, I would think.
All right.
Page.
Marcus Page, correct. 3 for 3.
Okay. Louisville, I'll say Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell, correct. 4 for 4.
All right. Oh, boy. Jeez. Pittsburgh would be. Jeez, I can't even remember who's on Pittsburgh right now.
It'll be a tough one for you.
It's not like Woodall or something like that, right?
No, Trey Woodall was gone from a while back.
Jim's taking care of some technical difficulties here.
Letting you fly solo on
this. He is. It's killing me. Leading returning scorer for Pitt.
Okay, let me get back into here. Let's see. Leading scorer for Pitt. The leading returning scorer, that's right. The tough part. Yeah, we might need a hint, huh?
I wouldn't know. I don't know Wake Forest.
Yeah.
I don't know Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I don't think you guys are going to get Pitt. Cameron Wright.
Cameron Wright.
Okay, yeah, well.
Yeah, you're not... Handful you're not going to get. But who's the leading returning scorer in the entire ACC? How about that?
Well, wait a second. I'll get. Well, I know that one. I think I can get some of these. I know Notre Dame is probably the guy you're talking about now, Jerrion Grant. Or no, wait, he didn't play. He played for part of the year last year.
So I'll give you half credit for Jerrion Grant because he had the highest scoring average on Notre Dame last year. But right. Because he only played 12 games, he didn't have the most points.
Okay. Syracuse.
So Jerrion Grant averaged 19 a game, played 12 games. Pat Connaughton was the had the most points because he played every game and averaged 14.
Notre Dame's got a pretty good team this year. I mean, Mike Bray might be able to lead him into the Sweet 16 before he chokes it away.
I doubt that.
Okay, so we got Notre Dame. Who's next? How about Boston College, Oliver Hanlon?
Correct. And he is the leading returning scorer in the entire ACC.
Wow. BC already one loss to another Boston school this year. Boston U beat them. They can never...
That won't be the last.
You're probably right. Syracuse is Christmas, right?
No, we already said that.
Oh, Cooney. Sorry.
Cooney.
Oh, Cooney, yeah, okay, jeez. Louisville, do we get Louisville?
Montrezl Harrell.
Yes.
Man. I got all the easy
Louisville,
ones.
Louisville, Duke, Carolina, Syracuse, Notre Dame. Yeah, and that was it. And then now BC you've got, and I gave you guys Pitt.
How about
NC State?
NC State's tough because you remember Wright, or what's his name there, Rodney, I can't even think of the guy's name. He's playing in the D-League with Ennis now. How about Trevor Lacy, the guard for no. NC State? No. Geez, I don't think I have. I don't think I can get this one.
NC State, Ralston Turner.
Oh yeah, okay. Now that you say the name, that's how usually trivia works.
I'll give you guys the names, and you'll recognize them. But yeah, they're not exactly household names. A lot of these guys. How about UVA?
The point guard there.
Anderson? Anderson?
What's up?
Anderson?
No, I guess or no. No.
The point guard. I don't know his name.
Yeah, you're thinking of the guy. Malcolm Brogdon.
That's him.
Oh, yeah, Brogdon's tough.
Yep.
Look forward to watching him play this year.
Florida State.
Terrible. The Lakers lost today.
I have no idea.
Aaron Thomas.
Never would have got that.
Syracuse only played them once, and Florida State was really bad that game, so that's probably why we don't remember him very well.
And they're 3-3 this year.
Georgia Tech.
They beat us. Come on, Jim. Who lit us up last year?
Yep.
Beat us in the dome.
You're right. I remember he had a great game against Syracuse that day.
Oh, you know what? That's ringing a bell. Mitchell.
No.
Okay. I thought it was Charles Mitchell. That's going to be the only guess that I'll have on that one, I think.
Marcus Georges Hunt.
Okay. That's who I think about when I think Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket basketball. Who's the team we're on now?
Wake Forest.
Devin Thomas.
There's a... No.
How about the kid...
Virginia Tech is Devin Wilson.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad we don't have to guess that one. How about the kid who... Tyler Kavanaugh?
No, because I don't even think he's back at Wake this year. I think he transferred somewhere.
Oh, really? No kidding. He was offered a scholarship at Syracuse, I think, wasn't he? Or,
yeah, he played with Coleman in high school.
Yeah. Now maybe he wasn't offered the scholarship, but
we should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he went, but yeah, he's not at Wake anymore. Wake's leading returning scorer is Cody Miller McIntyre.
A lot of three-man hyphenated names that are coming back in the ACC.
Yeah, about that.
You know what's kind of sad about this is if we did this Big East, if we did this like 3-4 years ago and we did Big East, I think we would have probably got most of everybody.
Well, that was going to be my actual takeaway of all of this is that exact point. we could probably do it with the Big East now. And yeah, we just struggle with this ACC thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess it'll come with time. Do we run the gamut yet? Who do we forget?
We have not. So Miami, their leading returning scorer is Manu LeConte. Yeah, household name. Clemson's top returning scorer is Rod Hall. Yep. You guys remember Rod Hall, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, Clemson Tiger basketball, yeah. That's what I think about when I think about Rod Hall.
So go ACC. That's all I got.
Okay.
It's a tough one.
Well, you know, we need to do exercises like this to get to know our new conference and get ready for the season. You know, Louisville's coming in this year, and Jesus, good stuff. And keeping with that theme, I suppose, we'll move on to the list segment where we're going to talk about the ACC Big Ten Challenge. But before I do, I got to award the 1 week Orange Fantasy League contest winner to Brad Connor, the professor, who with the second pick took Raheem Christmas and rode him all the way to the title. I had McCullough with the first pick, and I obviously should have took Christmas because Christmas was pretty dominant this week statistically. And, you know, if I can just...
He was that much better than McCullough? McCullough had a lot of rebounds.
Well, that's true, Virk. You know, and to be honest with you, I didn't add them up. I just kind of looked at it. No, but I think Christmas... here's the numbers. McCullough had 17.7 rebounds against Loyola. Christmas had 18.9 rebounds. And then against Holy Cross, McCullough had 14.13 rebounds. Christmas had 25.8. But Christmas also had 6 blocks against Loyola. Brad, who was your second? The other thing was my third round pick was Tyler Roberson, so I got nothing there.
Yeah.
Christian White, Virk, did get in the game and get you 3 rebounds.
Hey.
So.
Well, I had Benajay. Did I have Benajay? He didn't do anything.
But
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, you did. I had Cooney, so that didn't help at all.
Yeah, no, Cooney didn't do much. 13 points against Loyola and 5 against Holy Cross, and Benajay picks up a lot of junk. 4 points, 3 blocks, 1 assist, 4 rebounds against Holy Cross, and then against Loyola, 2 points, 2 steals, an assist, and a rebound. Man, jeez, not good. But we already talked about that, of course. So let's move ahead to this week's list segment. Let's run down the ACC Big Ten Challenge and pick some winners here. It all starts out on Monday, December 1st, as Nebraska travels to Florida State. Stupid. You know. Yeah. So who do you like in that one? You know, to be honest with you, I like Nebraska. Florida State's looked awful this year. That's on ESPN2, by the way, 7 o'clock on Monday night.
I like Nebraska.
So I'm actually scoring this.
Okay.
Jim, Burke, and Brad. Jim, so I took Nebraska. Burke took Nebraska, and Brad took who?
Nebraska.
Oh, it's a clean sweep. And then also Monday night, boy, great first night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. We got Rutgers at Clemson. Big Ten Rutgers.
I see Rutgers scored all 26 against UVA yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to take Clemson, and I really think Clemson is not good. So, but I'm taking them over Rutgers.
I'll take Clemson as well.
Yeah, I'll take Clemson. You score 26 against anybody, you're probably not going to win in the challenge.
Yeah, I think that's what South Seneca had against Minders on Saturday night, actually 26. Okay, moving ahead to Tuesday, things improve a little bit at 7 o'clock. We got Pittsburgh at Indiana. Pittsburgh at Indiana. Huge game for Tom Crean, really.
I like, Indiana was not good last year, but they're supposed to be better. I'll go with Indiana at home.
All right, well, I'm going to go with Pitt just because I'm going to go with my heart sometimes more in my head. Brad, who you got?
I've got Pitt, or Indiana, rather, in this game. Okay. Like Virk said, because they're home. I think they're pretty close otherwise.
There's a difference there. Okay. Moving ahead to Minnesota at Wake on ESPNU Tuesday night. I'm going with the Golden Gophers.
Me too. I'll take Minnesota.
Yeah, guys, Wake Forest is brutal. They're really, really bad. They lost at home to Delaware State. Delaware State was coming off a 50-point loss to Iona, guys.
Jesus.
Jeez. And they went and beat Wake at Wake's court. I mean, Wake could be the worst
conference team. You know that's money bet. Then if the man on the other line here holds a degree at Wake Forest, and he's picking the Golden Gophers.
Doesn't matter. They're bad.
Okay. Now on Tuesday night, 7:30, we got our own time slot for this one on ESPN, Syracuse at Michigan. I'm going with the Cuse, you guys. I'm going with the Cuse.
I'm going Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan.
Okay, boy, a lot of differences here with me and you guys. So it'll be fun to little extra impetus to watch this week so I can outdo you guys in prognostications. Okay, so then we on Tuesday night, there, it gets a little later. We got some 9 o'clock games. Illinois at Miami.
Couple undefeated teams right there, 6-0 and 7-0.
I'm going with the home team. I'm going with the Hurricanes. Jim Larranaga. You guys?
I'll go with Miami.
I like Illinois in this one, you guys.
All right. Well, there we go. Another difference there. Good. Twin Bill at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. NC State at Purdue. The Wolfpack versus the Boilermakers. I don't know anything about Purdue, but I'm going to assume they're not good. And I'm going with the Wolfpack.
I'll follow you on that one. NC State.
What do you know about Purdue, Brad? Anything?
Nothing, but I'm going to pick them anyway.
What is Gene Cady got a good class coming in? Actually, is Gene Cady still on the bench?
Purdue's coach.
Is
no, he was on St. John's bench.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to ask. Is he still on the bench with Lavin there at St. John's?
I'm not sure.
Well, we'll find out Saturday. Okay, here's a pretty good one at 9:30. Ohio State at Louisville. I bet you we're all picking Louisville here. At Louisville. I got Louisville.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take Louisville.
I think it'll be close.
Okay. Then we move ahead to the final night on Wednesday night, and we got Michigan State at Notre Dame. Geez, I like the looks of that one. A lot of green at 7:15 on ESPN2 on Wednesday night. I tell you, I'm going with Notre Dame. I'm really picking a lot of ACC teams here. It could be my downfall, but I like Notre Dame this year.
I'm going to take Michigan State, even though they got two losses.
Brad, you're thinking about this one, aren't you? Michigan State. Wow.
Notre Dame won't win a big game like that.
Even at home? All right, no.
I don't think so.
It's fine. The picks are official. Now, when I think ACC Big Ten Challenge, I immediately think Virginia Tech at Penn State on ESPNU. Now, they got that game opposite the Michigan State-Notre Dame game. What do you think? You know, one out of every 100 viewers will watch the Tech-Penn State game instead of the Michigan State-Notre Dame game. I'm going with...
I think we should put it on your ESPN Classic.
Yeah, I'm going with Penn State.
I'll take Penn State as well.
Yeah, make it 3 on Penn State.
Wow. Line sweep. Okay, then at 7:30, we got a good one with Iowa at North Carolina. Iowa, a team that we know well. And I'll tell you, I think I said it quickly last week. I don't think North Carolina is that good this year. I think they got a lot of talent. I just think that Roy Williams does not know how to coach in this day and age. I think that, you know, when he left Kansas, he's starting to recruit different types of athletes. I don't know. I think he might be all cried out. I'm going with Iowa. And this is at North Carolina.
I'm going to go with North Carolina. I know they got upset by Butler in the tournament, but, Carolina's talented.
They came back and killed Florida, by the way.
Yeah. So I'll stick with North Carolina at home.
Brad, you going to get a little risky?
No, not at all. From what I saw of Iowa, I don't think they've got the horses to play with Carolina.
Okay, moving ahead to the 9:15 games. There's a twin bill here. I got Virginia at Maryland, which, oh boy, is this the ACC challenge? No, it's the ACC Big Ten challenge because we move into the ACC. Maryland, one of the schools that I would like to be affiliated with in football and basketball, is now in the Big Ten. I got Virginia.
I'm going to go with Maryland in this one.
They're you know, they got some good freshmen. They got some nice wins this year.
Lefty Grizzell is a great recruiter
at home. So I'm gonna go with Maryland.
Brad, what do you think about Gary Williams' bunch down there in Maryland?
I think Virginia's going to take Maryland. And I think Virginia's going to shut them down like they've been shutting everybody else down. Their defense is great.
Okay, duly noted. And across from that game on ESPNU, we got Georgia Tech at Northwestern.
Georgia Tech for me.
Me too. I'll go with Tech.
I had no idea at all, but I said Northwestern just because.
Okay. And then finally, they saved the best for last. 9:30 on Wednesday night, of course, you got Duke at Wisconsin. Duke at Wisconsin. Important stipulation because Duke hasn't lost a non-conference game at Cameron since 1857.
That's a great game. I'm going to go with Duke, though.
Brad?
Yeah, I agree. Duke. Too tough.
I'm going with the Badgers. Wisconsin's a tough place to play.
It is. I mean, I think that's going to be a great game. I think Duke is that good this year.
Can you believe this, though? All these games over the next there are a lot of games in this that I'm excited to see. The sad part, again, going back to what we were kind of reminiscing on earlier, is that if it was the ACC Big East Challenge, I'm watching every single game and really enjoying every single game. But I just am not going to get up too much for that Rutgers-Clemson game, even though you're featuring a player like Rod Hall. Not too excited for that Minnesota Wake game, although Patino's son coaching, it's a little something. NC State at Purdue. Ugh. Virginia Tech, Penn State. So, but it's happening this week, starting Monday night, the ACC Big Ten Challenge. All right, guys, let's go for two for the road before we get out of here. Number one, how about the Big East representing? I mean, it's kind of, it makes, I almost wish we were still a part of it, because you know what they're doing? They're absorbing all this trouble. They end up with a great basketball conference. And they're getting it done on the court. St. John's, Villanova, Georgetown.
There's looking at that conference, there's no terrible teams. I mean, DePaul, has typically been terrible, but
Joey Meyer's got a great class coming in though.
top to bottom, that's a tough league. There's no Wake Forest's or, teams that are just awful in it.
No offense, Brad. But,
oh, none taken.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's the type of league where every one of those games is just interesting, exciting to watch. And I think that, the Big East basketball schools, of old pulled a nice little coup, to preserve what they build upon in the future. So, you impressed with the Big East, Brad?
Yeah, they're solid, almost top to bottom. I mean, DePaul beat Stanford, they've course lose some DePaul-like games, but yeah, I wouldn't want to play any of those guys right now. I mean, St. John's could be one of the bottom tier teams in that league, and Syracuse is going to see them in a couple weeks, and I'd be a little bit frightened of that game.
You know that Karnisek is going to come through in the clutch though as a coach for St. John's.
Yeah, it's a solid league. I if they did an ACC Big East challenge right now,
let's do it. Let's do that.
The top nine out of the ACC. I don't think the ACC would win that challenge.
No, you might be right.
I think we're better up top. ACC, their top three teams. You take a Louisville, Duke, North Carolina. I think
Syracuse.
Syracuse. But I think their bottom teams beat our bottom teams, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, that'll probably never happen. They probably will never do that.
Well, there's not enough teams.
There's no way.
Yeah, that's true. There's not enough teams to start with. But, we used to do it. Really enjoyed it. Big East got the better of the ACC almost every time. Two for the road. Final Michigan score, guys. Let's hear it.
Oh, I'll go. Go ahead, Brad.
I say 62-53, Michigan prevails.
Jeez, you guys are tough on the Cuse. Virk?
68-61,
Michigan. 68-61,
Michigan.
I'm going with a Cuse win in a high-scoring game, 84-67. Boeheim takes about a three-point lead into the final 4 minutes, takes the air out of the ball. Even though the Cuse has already made 14 threes in the game, we're gonna all our shooting woes are gonna go by the wayside when we visit Ann Arbor. High-scoring game, Cuse wins by 8. And then they got St. John's, right?
Yep.
And then we're going to come back here and talk about it next week. So, Brad, get some sleep. And, Brad, you're not going to be with us, are you, next week, Brad?
No, I'm out of town next week, so I won't be able to participate.
Well, maybe we'll get Dave Barnick in here or Kevin Gordoneski, some of the usual suspects. And I guess I'll be in charge of trivia next week. Brad, have a good week off next week. Virk, thanks for joining us again. And thanks to all the viewers for joining us on this week's edition of the Upstate Orange Podcast. Remember to subscribe to our feed on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, or via RSS. We're online at podcast.fingerlakes1.com. Upstate Hoops. For my co-hosts Matt Verkey and Brad Conner, our producer Jeremy Hunt, I'm Jim Sinacropi. Let's go Orange!